red rifles, psychotic pink bunnies, yellow eyes, and a decapitated duck? Nah, this isn't a horror movie. It is, in fact, one of the all-time classic Christmas movies, 80s style, in the 40s. So grab your jackets, mittens, and galoshes as we head to Indiana looking for some ho-ho-hos on this all-new episode. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall. This is a podcast where we take a look at everything the memorable decades of the 1980s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us, and we promise you'll have an awesome time. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by someone who still loves the glow of electric sex in the window. It's my good friend, Rob.
I do love the glow of electric sex in the window.
I know.
Yeah,
I've been to your house.
Yep.
You got a lot of sex laying around.
Well, what do I do in my own
that's my time personal business.
My personal business.
And I would be happy if you stay out of it.
That's right. Hey, with Christmas only days away, I wanted to take a few minutes to remind us all that the Christmas season is an opportunity each year when we all act a little nicer. We smile a little easier, we cheer a little more. On Christmas Day, for a couple hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped we'd be. It's a miracle. It's a miracle because it happens every Christmas Eve, and we don't want to waste that miracle. On behalf of the Total 80s and 90s Recall team, I want you to know that we think you have to do something. You have to take a chance. You have to get involved. There are people that are having trouble making their miracle happen. There are people that don't have enough to eat. There are people that are cold. You can go out and say hello to these people. You can take an old blanket out to the out of the closet and say, here. You can make them a sandwich and say, oh, by the way, here. And if you give, then it can happen. Then the miracle can happen to you. It's not just the poor and the hungry. It's everybody who needs this miracle. And it can happen this Christmas for all of you. If you believe in this spirit thing, or if you don't, the miracle will happen. And then you'll want it to happen again tomorrow and the day after that and every day after that. You won't be one of those bastards who say Christmas is once a year and it's a fraud. It's not. It can happen every day. You just need to want that feeling. And if you like it, you want it, you'll get greedy for it. You'll want it every day of your life, and it can happen to you. I believe in it. And I'm pretty sure that we believe it's going to happen to all of you out there too. I know I'm ready for it, and it's great. It's a good feeling. Maybe this is an opportunity for all of you to feel better than you have in a long time. I speak for Dave and I when I say, have a Merry Christmas, everybody.
That's awesome. Very inspirational. You could have said that to Kurt, too, but that's okay.
No.
Just Dave and I.
Well, it was going to be a little Christmas surprise.
A Christmas surprise.
We have them wrapped in a little bow.
We do.
Yeah.
Just pull it up and he pops out of the cake or wherever he
just wearing
from.
A bow.
Yeah.
Well, and the I only say, thing, God bless us.
God bless everyone. Yes. I was going to say the only thing I have for your hello is feed me, Seymour.
So there you go.
All right. Well, since it's the holiday season, we, as Rob just said, have a present for our listeners. Also joining us in the studio today, some people's favorite film buff. I haven't met them, but they're there. He loves sticking his tongue on stuff. The Recall Movie Hound. It is, of course, Kurt.
Ooh, thank you very much. I'm here again. Please do not unwrap me. I would like to stay fully clothed.
You've never said that out loud.
That is true.
That's fine.
That is true. My wife has told me to stay clothed, but that's about it.
Yeah, that doesn't work most of the time. So, well, as we said in the opening, it is the holiday season. Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's, all of it, whatever you celebrate out there. Hope you're having a great time. Are you guys excited for the upcoming holiday festivities?
Well, of course, I've got my four Christmas trees up.
Yes.
My wife has put me to work.
Yeah,
lights are up. It's
you have a lot of chores when it comes to Christmas.
I really do.
Already have them up, really?
Oh yeah,
I do.
They were up after what, Halloween?
Yes, because we put the Halloween decorations away. And it's We don't want to just put up things for like 3 weeks or 2 weeks, and then have to take it all down again. So no, we go straight to Christmas.
Thanksgiving is literally the stepbrother of holidays. Like, it's just like we take down Halloween, we go to Christmas, forget about the turkey. Nobody cares.
Yeah, we haven't even started. So.
No,
you except don't. For the lovely lights behind
in
you.
The studio. No.
Well, I got out here and did the studio. You show where my priorities are at.
As always, your wife asked you to do something, and where you're at, you're in the studio.
You know, we have a staff that could have done, you know, the decorations. I mean, we don't pay Kip much, but it'd be nice if he did something. So.
Oh, but he's got all in their head. He's doing this undermining thing.
Undermining, yes. Well, the studio is decorated. It looks lovely, very festive. The whole team is in place. So, Rob. Smells like cinnamon. I don't know, but we'll go with that.
Okay.
So, what are we doing for today's episode?
We are talking about the holiday classic, A Christmas Story.
Oh, are we excited for this?
Yes. This is a good one.
This is a good one.
It is a holiday favorite in my household. Yeah.
I would say that's a lot of households. Yeah. So, well, this is an all-time classic for us 80s kids, 90s kids, probably anyone around that generation. It's the only Xmas movie I know that gets played for 24 straight hours on TBS every year. Mm-hmm. They should play Fred Claus a little more often, but I'll let that go. So it's great. It's got some street cred, Rob. I actually remember seeing this for the first time in school. I didn't see it in a theater or rent it. The Friday before Christmas break, we would get pizza and watch this movie in elementary school. So in fact, I'd say from fourth to sixth grade, that happened every year.
You watched it in school?
Yeah, they wheeled in the little cart. The teacher put it on and
wow.
First time I saw it was in class. So, the cart would come in, the TV on it. The AV Club took a break from reviewing all those TV theme show songs.
AV Club. And I don't remember when it's just always been. I don't remember when we started watching it.
I have no memory of watching this with my parents or at home. My parents have no tie to this movie for me. I would watch it basically at school. A couple friends, I think, watched it from time to time. But the reality is I didn't watch it much. And then as I got older, I started watching it more.
Yeah.
It would come on TBS. And then it became like a staple. Like you said, it's a staple in our house. We have a rotation of holiday movies. This is in there. Although I will say my kids don't love this movie as much as the wife and I love this movie.
Yeah.
There'll be times where they'll be like, that's the movie we could skip. They won't skip Elf. They won't skip some others. But if they're like, well, I got a new toy or I got a new video game or I got something. You guys watch Christmas Story. I'll go do this.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Maybe they just don't find it as exciting.
Yeah, my kids.
Maybe it's too dated for them.
Yeah, the nostalgia doesn't hit for them.
Yeah. Like it does for us.
I don't know. Yeah, my kids would come in while I was getting ready, and I watched this several times, and they would just leave the room. They were like, oh, you're watching this?
Yeah.
They weren't excited about it.
I don't think the jokes land quite the same way for them as they do for us, but they were jokes we laughed at when we were 8, 9 years old, so now we remember that. Mm-hmm. And for them, their jokes equate to like Elf and movies like that. Mm-hmm. So this one, I would say, is not as lively as the Christmas Vacations and the Elves. Mm-hmm. It's more... I guess subtle humor. Is that right?
I guess.
It's not right. They're not doing, there's not a ton of, it's not Chevy Chase falling off a ladder or, you know, things flying through windows or just the overall what Elf is doing, lingerie, all these other
things. Yeah.
So, you know, it's more of a, like, it's the family jokes and things like that. Like, our kids don't know what it's like to have to fix a furnace.
Right.
So that joke doesn't land very well, you know?
I know.
You know, going out Christmas tree hunting. My kids don't know what that's like. We haven't gone Christmas tree.
Yes, like, take the box out of the garage.
Yeah, you know, so maybe it just doesn't feel the same to them, like all that. So, but yeah, they will definitely skip it. We don't skip it. We always still watch it. Mm-hmm. I think Christmas Day is our Christmas Story destination. The wife and I always try to watch it on Christmas Day. And we own it, so we watch that. I mean, you watch the TBS one. It's one of those movies you can just pick it up, and if you missed the opening, you just watch from that, and then you pick the opening right back up on TBS right at the end of it. So,
well, you made a comment today. You said, "Yeah, I don't really even need to watch it."
Well, I don't at this point.
You just know. Most people know it.
It's probably in a top five of a movie I've seen the most times.
I was gonna say that later, but I was gonna say I think it is the movie I've seen the most in my life.
I don't think it's the movie I've seen the most. I've seen a couple others a lot of times.
I'm not a big movie guy, but this is one I've seen.
I'm gonna say it's probably the one I've seen the most in probably the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. Because my wife, it's the only way she'll come sit next to me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, at home. <That's good>. Is I'll put it on and it's
hard pee.
Yeah. It's one of the few times where no matter what she's doing, if she hears the movie, she'll be like, okay, I'll be down in a second.
Oh.
I'll come over and watch it with you.
So. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
But if you're watching Yoga Hosers.
She's
not getting on the couch.
She's staying away.
I gotcha. All right. That could become,
she's not a big Tusk fan.
No one should be a Tusk fan. That's for a different day. So, all right. Well, we Triple Dog dare you to stay right there where you are as we celebrate the best time of the year, rewinding the tape back to check out A Christmas Story. That really is a great opening theme song. It doesn't get played enough. Like, that should get played on the radio outside, but the only time you hear it's for the movie. Mm-hmm. So somebody made a great rendition of that, and it just doesn't get the attention I believe it deserves. So, well, all right, you two, what would make for a great Christmas holiday season?
Oh.
You're immediately stumped? All right, your answers are all bad. The answer is
please tell us.
Totally 80s and 90s recall, of course. So if you haven't done so already, take 1 second, hit the subscribe button, share it with a friend. We promise if you do, we'll explain to you why the carpets are all wet since Todd is completely clueless. All right, but Rob and I know the secret, and we will let you know. So
not a finger.
I like that you two were genuinely trying to think of the best gift for the holiday season.
You are not good
at these takes and terrible at selling our show. All right. I'll let you know that right now. So, well, with that, before we discuss A Christmas Story, we like to provide you with all the important info for, and as usual, the hound will guide us on that journey. So take it away, Kurt.
Ooh, thank you. All right. A Christmas. Oh, here we go again. Kip and the boys are hot-buttoning it today.
Yeah, they're on it today.
They're on it. All righty. Let's see if it lasts the whole show.
They're overcompensating.
Yeah, he'll wander off at some point.
That's right. So. All right. A Christmas Story is based on Gene Shepherd's book, In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash. It was a collection of semi-autobiographical short stories that Shepherd wrote for Playboy magazine during the 60s. So, see, ladies, we did read the articles.
We did.
I don't know if we do now. I don't think it's a magazine anymore. It's just online only.
Yeah.
So I've been told. All right. Christmas Story was released on November 18th, 1983. So I was 3 years old. It had a budget of just $3 million and made only $19 million at the box office. It stars Melinda Dillon, Darren McGavin, Peter Billingsley, and Ian Petrella. And it was narrated by Gene Shepherd. It's widely considered a holiday classic. It's been shown in a marathon annually, like we've talked about. It started on TNT in 1997, and then TBS picked it up in 2004. It's called The 24 Hours of A Christmas Story, consisting of 12 consecutive airings. So it's every 2 hours.
Wow.
Good math.
They do it. Yeah. Thank you.
Sharp math.
I'm an educator. I'm edumacated. No.
Come from a house of learned doctors.
That's right. There is one doctor in my family. Christmas Story has a Rotten Tomato score of 89 and an audience score of 88. So just about everyone loves this movie. And if you don't, I don't think I can trust you.
Oh, good one.
That's right. So now, Rob, with all that information that I painstakingly researched, please tell us about the movie.
Well, I'm glad you painstakingly researched it because I took mine right off the back of the video box.
That's your new thing now. So I am interested.
What's the VHS or the DVD?
I got it.
I even found it. I went on and looked at it. So at the top, I will tell you, it says, this is a quote from the Los Angeles Weekly. This is from the back of a period correct video that would have come out in 83. Quote says, a big warm-hearted teddy bear of a film you'll want to hug. Mm. Eh? And it says, the Christmas spirit soars to life in this hilarious holiday gem. With sly and gentle satire, this delightful film paints a jaunty Rockwell portrait of middle America, all at once amusing, provoking, and heartwarming, says the Hollywood Reporter. In a small 1940s Indiana town, 9-year-old Ralphie Parker, played by Peter Billingsley, dreams of a perfect Christmas morning complete with the ultimate holiday gift, a genuine Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot lightning loader range model air rifle. But when both his gruffly lovable father, played by Darren McGavin, and doting mother, Melinda Dillon, respond with the patent, "No, you'll only shoot your eye out," Ralphie must pull out all the stops in his effort to attain his dreams. With its genuine feeling of family warmth, that was Variety that said that, "A Christmas Story is truly funny for kids and grown-ups alike," says Leonard Maltin. Ooh. "An uplifting tale of determination and triumph over seemingly unconquerable odds, this is a film with a heart so pure that only Scrooge could dislike it," says the Los Angeles Weekly.
You had some review stuff in there. Did you check out the what Siskel and Ebert thought about it?
No, I just, it probably wasn't good.
What?
Well, because it didn't do well early on. That's what I found. It didn't. It was initially a bomb.
So. Well, you know, you mentioned in there, this came out in 1983. One of the reasons we're featuring this on our first holiday episode is it is the 40-year anniversary.
That's nuts.
Of when it debuted. I would have been 7. You would have been 6.
6.
You would have been?
3.
3. Perfect.
Just a wee lad.
Just a wee lad, probably still weeing
and running around in his knickers. All right. Well, and so the time of year of the movie, I think, is up for discussion. So I'm not sure that they ever specify exactly when it's supposed to be, but I think you're in a roundabout zone. The Bears-Packers game referred to was in 1941. The Little Orphan Annie Decoder came out in 1940, and the calendar in the kitchen has December 1st on a Friday, which was in 1939.
Yeah,
My wife always disputes that one because she's like, well, we could have just left the calendar up and not gotten a new calendar. So I think, but let's just go. I think it's between 39 and 41. And The Wizard of Oz had just come out, according to the show, and that was 39 or 40, right?
And The Look magazine was 1937.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. Well, it's just an old magazine, right? Yeah.
And I did find somewhere that in like the film notes, it says late 30s, early 40s. It's just a generic.
I think, they're just given that like time frame.
Anamorphosis.
Nice. So got that nice middle America look in those times right there. So, so we have Ralphie. He's got his brother Randy, lives with his parents.
The old man.
Basically, it's a snapshot of his pursuit at Christmas to get the perfect gift.
That's right.
And then, you know, you get to kind of see everything that goes on around that. So we've all been there to try to find the perfect gift, right? What was the perfect gift for you when you were a kid?
Oh, wow.
What was something you asked for that you were like, I want that?
I remember asking for an Atari 2600.
Oh, nice. What did that, do you remember the feeling on the Christmas morning? Or did you already feel like you were getting
it? No, I will tell you what my parents did. My mom was kind of the creative one of the family, and she actually, it's still floating around somewhere. There's a Polaroid picture of Christmas tree.
Oh.
It's all set up, and it's, you know, and there's a red and white gloved hand reaching into the picture. And then that was left Christmas morning by the cookies.
Nice.
For the longest time. That was evidence that it was real, man.
So, and what about you?
I did not have any evidence like that.
No, did you have like a gift that it was like your desired gift?
My desired gift. Let's see here. I remember one year we got towels. I was telling my wife that story earlier.
I'm not asking what you got. I'm asking what you asked for. You didn't ask for towels.
Mine was probably we got the Super Nintendo. We never got the regular Nintendo. We skipped straight to the Super. I still have it to this day.
Nice.
Still works.
So mine was, I remember when I was, I forget the age, but I wanted the Castle Grayskull for He-Man. Like I wanted that toy a lot and I asked for it, right? And so there's a big present under the tree. So I get all excited. I open it, and it's the box. And I pick the box up. It feels really light. So my dad thought he was funny with these things. So open it, see what it is. And you open it up, and inside was a T-shirt. And so he was like, did you think you were getting the Castle Grayskull? You know, we just use the box for wrapping because it's a good square. And I was like, And so right at the end, he pulls it out of the closet and he goes, oh, look, I found this. And I'm like, so he would do that often. He was also the guy that would wrap six boxes.
Oh, yeah.
So you could get to
a
the
box inside of a box. Ugh. Inside of a box.
Yeah. How insufferable is that? Just give me the present. Come on. But he would do that. So I was all excited. Then I was crushed because, look, there's nothing worse as a kid. I don't care how great that t-shirt was. When you think you're getting Castle Grayskull and a t-shirt's in the box, like, I couldn't kick that far enough away from the tree. And I don't want to open any of these other presents at that point. So.
He was like Ralphie and Randy, just throwing the socks.
It's out of here. So
socks
are like, those are, I've always thought of those as filler. We would get socks at Christmas and they're just filler presents. Like, mm-hmm. So it just seems like you have more things under the tree. Mm-hmm. I would just rather you give me the six or seven good things. I don't need the socks. I don't need another Brute aftershave kit. I don't need any of these things.
That was the thing your mom used to give me every year. It was this little kit. It was Old Spice, and it always had a little bottle of aftershave, a little bottle of cologne, and one other thing. What was it?
Apparently, she thought you were like 47 years old already.
Every year,
she was wearing Old Spice,
and I still to this day in our bathroom, I have. Because I haven't used them all. I'm still using them.
Why?
Because I'm an Old Spice guy. Use Old Spice? Yep, Old Spice.
Wow. Bing. Do you do the do 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 do?
No.
So, all right.
I still got a couple bottles left, and those are from your mom.
So. Nice. Anyway. All right. Well, jumping back to Ralphie. So we all had some sort of present we were looking for. It looks like we might have attained those presents.
Yeah.
So here we have Ralphie. As you said, played by Peter Billingsley.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good casting choice here, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to think of any other kid in it because it's such an iconic film. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's kind of like Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin. Who else is in that part?
Right. Yeah.
Well, they tried and it sucked. So they tried other kids. Yeah. It didn't work. So.
I read somewhere that Sean Austin auditioned.
Yep.
Yep.
And then a couple other guys that are in my notes. I can't pick them up right now.
I saw that, like, thousands of kids auditioned, and Peter Billingsley was the first kid, and they did what, like 8,000, or I don't know if it was that big, but it was a lot of, and then they were like, hey, that first one,
first guy, let's go back there.
Like, seems like you wasted a lot of time on that, but they went back to him. Well, Peter Billingsley, I read, so dedicated to the part where he had the chewing tobacco, he actually was chewing tobacco in the rifle scene,
got sick,
and it made him dizzy and burned his lips. Whoever's responsible on that set as an adult, you are fired. Like, why would you even let him do that? He's like 10.
Well, did you see what they gave him? The alternative was raisins.
Yeah.
They had him chew on raisins.
Just do that. That would have been much better. So,
that's funny.
Yeah. So, let's see. So, as we go through the movie starts out, obviously, kind of the rotation of the movie is from the beginning, he's trying to give the hints of what he wants for Christmas, which is this red rifle BB gun, to which he keeps running into the same answer.
You'll shoot your eye out.
Right. Yeah. So, how does he, and then he creates all these ways to get around it, whether it's in school, at the department store. He tries to trick them by saying, oh, I'll take some Lincoln Logs.
Some Tinker Toys.
Tinker Toys. That's what Tinker it was. Toys, yeah. I don't know who wants Tinker Toys.
Oh, yeah, that was the breakfast scene. And that's where we meet the old man.
He sees,
was it Schwartz? Saw a grizzly bear down at Pulaski's candy store. And he tries to play that off like it's...
We have some traditional roles here in this movie. Mm-hmm. I would say in 2023, not everything's great. The two kids and the dad sitting at the table kind of tapping a spoon to demand more food, and the mom has to get up and get it. Mm-hmm. Like, the kids don't get up and get their own food. The dad would never put anything in his own bowl. So now in the 40s, that's probably accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, you know, it doesn't look as great as it used to be. So.
When did you notice they were sleeping in separate beds?
Mm-hmm. The classic two twin beds.
Yeah, the two twins beds.
So, you know, Peter and Randy are the evolution of the beds having a push together night, right?
Push together night.
How does that work?
You'd have to do the push together. You've seen son-in-law. Oop, boop, they're going together.
Yeah.
That means it's a good night.
That's right. Right?
So, let's see.
I was going to
go ahead.
Just to go back.
Yep.
At the opening, it says downtown Homan was preparing for its yearly bacchanalia. Of peace on earth and goodwill to men. I had to look that up.
What'd you come up with?
Bacchanalia is a Roman festival of Bacchus.
What is that?
Celebrated with dancing, song, and revelry. Bacchus in Greek mythology was the god of wine and vegetation.
Oh, nice.
He showed mortals how to cultivate grapevines and make wine as the son of Zeus. Bacchus is usually characterized in one of two ways. First, as a god of vegetation, specifically of the fruit of the trees.
Nice.
So the bacchanalia.
Nice.
Of peace on earth and goodwill towards man.
Wow. No one knows that about the Christmas story.
Now you do.
Until Rob told us. Yeah.
Thank you.
That is perfect.
Thank you for that information.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, you know, earlier you had said it didn't do well in the theaters.
Yeah.
Didn't make a lot of money. Well, that might be because it wasn't released in the theater during Christmas.
I read that.
It was released the week before Thanksgiving, and they said it sat over the two slowest weeks of the year in the movie. They think had it been released later towards Christmas, it would have done much better, but everybody had kind of forgotten about it by then. So they think they could have got double or triple more of the money then. But 83 is a good time for it to kind of crater at the box office because videotapes are a thing now. So people are starting to have VCRs. So then the home video gives them a second option. And that's kind of where it becomes its underground Christmas classic, right? So another thing I saw is before this, a lot of your Christmas movies were more adult themed. They're from like the 40s and 50s. There just weren't a ton of others. I mean, you probably made a few in the 60s, 70s, but they're kind of small one-offs. The big ones, the It's a Wonderful Life's Holiday Inn, White Christmas, those ones, those are all, you know, much earlier time. But after this movie came out, I think they saw, particularly once it did well with the videotape stuff, they saw there's a family element we can now tie to Christmas movies because in the 80s, Christmas movies start to become a thing. Scrooged, Christmas Vacation, you got Muppets, Christmas Carol. You got all these kind of, you know, things that pop out. Why are you laughing about the Muppets Christmas
Carol? Everybody loves the Muppets.
Isn't John Denver in that?
Yeah. We had that album. We had that album.
Nice. So, yeah. So you can almost say that they kind of spawned the future. You wouldn't have your elves in all these movies maybe if it wasn't for A Christmas Story. Right. So.
And I think there's an element of this movie that why it appealed to like my dad likes this movie because I think it reminds him of his childhood, you know, that he wasn't that age in the 40s, but I think that it paints a picture of what life was like in that for our parents' generation and their parents' generation. So
yeah,
I think they did a really nice job, I thought, of
capturing that time frame.
It looked like the time.
I mean,
the cars and the houses and the setting. They just did a really good job, I thought.
We'll assume the clothes are good. I wasn't alive then, so I can't verify that. But I guess from historical pictures and things, it kind of looks good.
I love the clothes the kids all show up to school in. Scott's got the bow tie and everything. Yeah.
They used to dress up to go.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the movie, when they go out to eat, they're literally in suits and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we don't wear suits. People wear sweats to eat out now. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Well, and they would change, you know, you had your eating clothes and you had your school clothes and you had, you know, there was, you know, you had your work. You okay over there?
I'm allergic to whatever you're talking about. Instantly.
You know, you had your work overalls and you had your in town overalls.
Yeah. Do you see what happens when he starts wandering off on these? You have your this, you have your that. I'm allergic to
He's
that.
He's trying to cover
ramble
you.
And I sneeze, all right? Every time. Because you just start. You sound like Bubba from Forrest Gump. You got your work clothes. You got your bed clothes.
That's
you got
all your I have work to say clothes. About that.
You got your going to the store clothes.
That's all I got to say about that. Wait, I have one more thing.
I got one more thing. Oh, that's my changed tire clothes.
And then, I push my beds together clothes.
The bed together clothes.
There's no clothes.
There's no clothes on that one.
And that's when you do the transition an hour later.
An hour later.
Still talking.
Yeah, 2 hours later.
Rob's got one more thing.
You guys are jerks.
I
hate all of you.
We love you, Rob.
I couldn't find it online or anything where I really wanted to, but there was a deleted scene where Ralphie rescues Flash Gordon from Ming the Merciless.
Yeah.
Didn't make the movie, but interestingly, Flash and Ming are listed in the end credits. The credits. Mm-hmm. So they're in the credits, which I've never seen that. I'm going to actually look for it next time I watch. But I don't know if that would have gone well. I'm assuming that was one of his dreamscapes. Mm-hmm. But that's weird, too, because Flash Gordon came out in like 1979, and this is supposed to be in 1940. Why would Ralphie be dreaming about Flash Gordon?
Just because.
So, okay.
All right. I like there was a second fantasy one where he was rescuing Santa Claus from Black Bart.
Oh, yeah.
Another dream sequence.
Yeah. It didn't make it. So,
all because they wanted it to stay at 90 minutes.
That's right. Don't want it to be too long. So nowadays, they don't care. Two and a half, 3 hours. As long we get everything in. And then you get the director's cut and be like 14 hours long, right?
So. Well, now they say 90 minutes, but we're going to do 4 more after that.
That's true. This would have been a trilogy.
Yeah.
The first one would have been like him in school. And then the second one would have been like all about him getting to the department store and the Wizard of Oz. And then the third one would have been actual Christmas morning.
Well, to be fair, there's what, 4 of these movies?
Yeah.
That seems like a lot.
Well, there is. There's one where he's getting ready for the prom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's one when he's a little older. And then there's the new one that just came out.
Well, there's a summer one. Ollie Hop.
There is a summer one.
Haven of Bliss.
Kieran Culkin is in one of them.
What a title, by the way. Yeah. Who wrote that down? Yeah. You're fired.
Yeah.
You're
fired. And it was a Canadian show prior.
Yeah.
The characters were in a show prior to the movie as a popular series in Canada. But
you didn't have to be that weird with the titles. Just go A Christmas Story, Summer Break. Like, it wouldn't have been difficult, right?
I mean, you look at Gene Shepard's writing. He's using things like their yearly bacchanalia.
Are you?
Mechanized electronic joy.
Are you downgrading Gene Shepard's writing?
No, I love it, actually.
Okay.
I think it's really good. I want to buy the book
really
now.
Good.
You want to buy the book now?
Well, I think I mentioned
before. I just want to go back to the Playboys.
My grandfather was a professional storyteller, and this sounds like a story he would have told.
Yeah.
Outside
of Peter Billingsley, what do we think of the cast in this movie? Everybody else really seems to fit, right? They did a good job.
Yep.
So the dad is the dad. Mm-hmm. I did read that they actually wanted Jack Nicholson
to play the dad.
How would that have gone? That would have been awful.
He would have been a little scary.
Yeah. Imagine The Shining at Christmas Story, like breakfast.
Here's the old man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a major award.
Yeah, it's a major award. You used all the glue
on purpose.
Not a finger.
Not a finger. When you see me
and
you
And by typing. The way, there would have been no flipping flapping. That would have been a straight F-bomb and everything else going down to that damn furnace. I just think it's too freezing in the middle of summer on the equator. Yeah, it's too intimidating. Like when he's out in the street and he's like, "What you got there?" And he goes, "Can't you see it's a major reward?"
Well, I just thought it was a lamp.
But that guy wouldn't have said that because if you said it like Nicholson, major award, the dude would have been like,
"Cool,
man.
I'm going back inside.
I'm going back in the house. Have fun major with that."
Award.
So, by the way, there is a interesting scenario in when they're out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
That guy he was talking to, it's either him or someone around. They're wearing a Miami Dolphins, I believe, or it's some football team stocking hat. That stocking hat was printed in like 1982. Yeah. And like the team didn't exist in the 1940s. Yeah. I think it was Miami Dolphins. But anyway, it was an extra and it was just what they had. So they put it on. And so
there's just some continuity.
It's no big deal. The Swede, the guy that's talking to him, that's Bob Clark. That's the director.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They just took whoever was around.
They did. So, because that goes with another thing when they're waiting for Santa Claus, the kid with the goggles. It was just a kid that was visiting his grandma that worked at the store. And they're like, "I like your goggles, kid. Come on."
Well, that kid, if that kid grew up to be a serial killer, I would not be shocked. Like if I saw a news story like 10 years later and they're like, "Yeah, we found like 6 dead bodies under his house," I'd have been like, "Yeah, that makes sense." Yeah. Like 100%.
And they all had goggles put on.
That kid is crazy. Yeah. You imagine that? Like he makes you watch Wizard of Oz on a 24-hour loop, like Clockwork Orange style with your eyes pinned open. And then he comes in, "Do you like the Wizard of Oz?" And you're like, "No." He just slowly pokes you to death with things.
You should like the Tin Man.
That's right.
Ralphie's response, don't bother me. I'm thinking.
Don't bother me. I would be like, "Don't dismiss that kid too much." Yeah. He says that's the witch. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Don't bother me.
Oh, that's right. Don't bother me. I'm thinking.
Yeah. Ralphie's very profound.
Yes. So.
You know what? If you're going to use Jack Nicholson in this movie, he would have been good as that Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho.
Shoot your eye out, kid.
What can I get you, little boy?
Again, too scary. Yeah. So that Santa's already scary. You throw a...
I don't like the smell of tapioca.
If you pee on my pants...
One more time.
one more time. No, if you have Jack Nicholson, this isn't even the same movie. In fact, I think it's a horror movie at that point. So I think it completely changes the entire movie. So yeah, that wouldn't work at all. So yeah, but everybody else seems pretty good. So
yeah, and I like the dynamic between the mom and the dad. I think it's I think there's some reality there, you know, because he's so frustrated with her.
Yeah.
You know, because he thinks he's such a know-it-all. But then she's so frustrated with him.
She's a lot smarter than he is.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like his little puzzle at the beginning there. And,
no,
and,
I know.
And he says,
everybody knows
well, she goes, is this one of your little silly puzzles, you know? And he kind of goes, yeah, it's one of my little silly puzzles.
Well, it's interesting. I looked this up. He looks a lot older than her.
He is.
So I looked, Darren McGavin,
by the way, 17 years older.
Born in Spokane, Washington.
Oh,
nice. Anyway, he was 61 when they filmed the movie. Mm-hmm. She's 44.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite an age difference. Even, uh-huh. I know in the 30s and 40s, you would marry a little bit. That's a lot even from then. Also, in this movie, Ralphie's 9.
Yeah.
So she's 44.
Mm.
So she would have been having him when she was like 35 years old.
Uh-huh.
That seems late for the 30s and mm-hmm. 40s to be having children. He would mm-hmm. only been in his 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have they been married? Like,
right.
If they're having kids in their 30s, when did they get married? I mean, in the old days, people got married pretty young. Like people get married like 16, 17, 18 mm-hmm. years old. Mm-hmm. But maybe they were an exception. Maybe
I don't know.
There were no divorces then really. It's not like you married later or anything. So they were just married for 10, 12 years before they decided to have a kid.
I was thinking dad might have been in the military before they met up or something like that.
World War One or something?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Maybe two. Mm-hmm.
You think we should have some kids? Hey, hon. Do you think I could get a little more cabbage over here? I'm telling you, it's a horror movie.
Those damn Jack Nicholson dogs.
Those dogs would have all been dead. I'm going to tell you something about those dogs. You would have got to see Bumpus. They would have come over and been like, hey, have you seen my dogs? I saw your dogs.
I saw them. You won't see them again.
Yeah,
that turned into a Jack Nicholson.
It has. I don't know what's going on. Well, he was supposed to be the star of the movie. Literally, they said that it got greenlit by the studio originally because Jack Nicholson was going to be the star of the movie, and then everybody was around him, and then he couldn't do it or didn't want to do it. I don't exactly even know what it is. So they get Darren McGavin in there, and they were threatening to not make the movie, but then they convinced him to go ahead and make it. So really, this whole thing was supposed to center around Jack Nicholson. So that would have been weird.
That would have been weird.
And Darren McGavin's got his parts, but it's not a lot of big parts.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Nicholson would have wanted to be in way more of that movie. Like he's not just going to let Peter Billingsley, you know, do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So he would have like, I got to rewrite some of this script. Yeah. You know what I mean? So he would have had to been, much better off. I don't think it's the fun family classic.
Yeah.
On Jack Nicholson. I just can't. No. I can't put that together. I'm not saying it would have been interesting or something to watch. I just think you're looking at more of a Poltergeist style movie than you're looking at a Christmas story.
Would have been a little more intense, I think.
I found interesting looking things up the other day. This movie never would have been made if it weren't for Porky's.
Oh, yes.
Great. I saw that.
That's right. Bob Clark made Porky's.
He made Porky's, and they're like, okay, we want a sequel. And he said, only if you greenlight this other movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they're like, all right, there you go.
And he did a horror movie, Black Christmas.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He has a weird catalog, right? Yeah.
He did.
Because you couldn't do that bathroom porthole scene in A Christmas Story, right?
No.
You know how he traded that out? I'm going to have you lick a light pole.
Lick a light pole.
I can't stick anything through a hole, so I'll have you lick a light pole instead, right? Mm-hmm. So,
did you see how they got the kid's tongue to stick to the pole well? They use a little vacuum's suction.
Yeah.
So if he pulled away, it wouldn't actually come off.
My question, though, is when he comes back to class, they get this big tape on his tongue.
But it's in the middle.
Wouldn't they have just poured water on it? It would have come off.
Yes.
Did they physically rip him off of there to where it was bleeding enough to put a bandage? Because
that's triple dog dare you.
Because that is really bad by the EMTs.
The bandage is around like the middle of his tongue, but it was the tip of the tongue.
He tipped it. I didn't understand the point of wrapping the tongue. What did that do?
Just so he could talk
to
me.
Not one kid. Hey, teacher, the flick stuck to the
Oh, well, little Ellen Grace
was dumb enough. Well, no, but
she was a little snitch.
But that was after she asked. She did her little point to the window, but everybody else just sat in class. You know what I mean?
Well, everybody ran to the window except for her, too.
He had a rough movie. He got stuck to the pole. That other time he walks in and he's just got this huge black eye.
He got his ass beat.
He got beat hard. By, Farkas there.
Scut. Yeah.
Like, that was a disturbing black eye, by the way.
And it was black really fast because the school had just started and he wandered in.
And teacher, Flick has grounds to just kick his friends to the curb.
Oh, my goodness.
They leave him every time.
Every time.
Ralphie's like, class?
Quick sacrifice.
Class is starting.
He could have just gone into school, too.
What do you want us to do? And he's like, don't leave me.
Yeah, why did, Ralphie. That's my thing is, why did he walk back to him? Flick had a choice there too. Flick had a free run to the stairs and he walked back over to them. So are they in that school, by the way? Like what grade are those two in?
They're skipping.
They're those kids that kind of just hang around.
They're the ones.
Yeah, like, why are you 12 in third grade
still? You know what I learned about Scott Farkas? Uh-huh. Well, one, there's a band called the Scott Farkas Affair.
That sounds right.
It's a real band.
Was it good?
Well, actually, I wrote it down because that'd be a great name for a band. I added it to my list of fictional bands, and it's already a band. I haven't listened to it.
Oh, okay.
But then also, when he appears, they play the Wolf song from Peter and the Wolf because Farkas is Hungarian for wolf.
You are really into your language dissection this week.
You're learning
today.
You're
doing a great job this week.
All right.
My goodness. Right. We're over here just talking about sticking tongues on things, and you're like, excuse me, gentlemen. That's a Hungarian.
Well, next week I'll probably just do the wrong script.
Oh, perfect.
I mean, I'll make up for it and go, wrong show?
Wrong show.
I prep for the wrong show.
Week?
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
You doing any prep is better than no prep, so that's good, right?
Yeah,
so.
I do some prep.
You do some once in a while, so... I read on here that Ralphie actually in the fudge scene, they filmed it like three times. He says the F-bomb.
Yep.
So there's tape of him ripping the F-bomb. And they went back in and put fudge over it.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, if you look at it, it doesn't match 100% because I'm really yelling it out. And he goes, I'd been in a couple other shows. I'd been on auditions. He goes, I'd heard the F word before. So
I like
again,
that.
Great set. These adult supervision is wonderful. Ralphie's yelling the F word. He's chewing tobacco.
It was the 80s.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
And you've got a director that did Porky's.
That's right.
So you got to remember there was probably some.
You're lucky he wasn't seeing other things there.
I like that scene a lot, the car scene, because I think to me, McGowan does a good job of. Being a dad that's frustrated with like how you hold the you know my dad that's exactly how my dad would have said
question
it.
Is
he would have been like no hold it like this god damn it
I'm with you all know, that and, my question is this I'm the dad you're the dad we're all dads now do you get back in the car and tell mom that he said the F word
that's my
I wouldn't have.
that
would have been between me and him and been like hey you shouldn't be saying that word and da 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 but going right back in the car to tell mom I just wouldn't have done that.
Yeah,
my wife didn't need to know that. All right?
But that is one of my criticisms of Dad, of Old Man Parker in this movie, because there's multiple times where he defers to Mom.
Well, he does
like,
a lot.
Like when he's got the bunny suit on at the end.
Yeah.
And he says, do you want to take that thing off? And the kid says, yeah. And he looks at the wife and says, tell him to take it off.
Yeah,
I'm like, why don't you tell him to take it off?
I think because...
Well, she was the one that told him to put it on.
That's right. True.
But he has to tell the wife to tell him. I'm like, you're right there.
The setup
the kids are her job.
That's what I'm saying. Then, I think that's what it is. I think all decisions of kids are supposed to be... Like, his part is if somebody needs a spanking or whatever that scenario is for the dad, that's my part.
Yeah.
But you notice when they're sitting at the table, he doesn't really talk to them.
No.
And then... You know, in the car, they're singing the songs, but he is not enjoying at all. He's got a lot of bad looks on his face.
She is screaming next to him.
Both
that would drive me
nuts. Well, when he gets back in the car, he goes, do you know what your son just said?
Yeah.
And then my favorite part of that, which is really, is the look on his face when she screams. And he's going like, see, I told you.
Told you.
Yeah. And then he's like, you let him have it.
I just wouldn't have, that would have been like between me and him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are you saying that word? Yeah. That's not a word a kid your age should be saying, right?
Yeah. So, it would have been, I know you've heard me say that multiple hundreds of times.
Hundred times. Because, of course, they're doing the flip and flapping thing. Yeah. But he, in real life, he's supposed to be dropping actual profanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're just not doing it for the movie. That was my only thing with the dad was the tattling for the fudge. Like, I never saw because he was all excited when he said, oh, you want to come help me? Like, it was the whole thing.
Oh, and the dad goes, what are you doing here?
Oh, yeah.
That's the first thing he says. What are you doing out here?
Do you know how bald those tires were, by the way?
They were really bald. He's
driving those in the snow.
I know. Yeah.
Wow. How are you even staying on the road?
The one that he pulled out of that trunk was bald.
Those cars were much heavier than our cars, so they sunk down in the snow.
That's true.
No chance those are going anywhere at all. So
that's funny.
Yeah. So speaking of the dad, I read in the they never say his actual name. You're saying Old Man Parker. Mm-hmm. But they don't say his actual name. They said in the script, as a placeholder, they had Hell, although people thought it was supposed to be Hal.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not sure exactly.
Well, and I have a note here that says in the, because there's an argument to be made that when the Swede talks to him and says, people have interpreted that his name is Hal. Because he goes, Hal. He says Hell.
Hell, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then somewhere in my notes, I found that it said that in the actual script, his name is Frank. And there's a telegram there's a Western telegram.
Oh.
And it's addressed to Frank.
Frank. What's the origin of that? Hungarian, Lithuanian?
Nope, it's from Frank the Tank.
Frank the Tank. Perfect.
Yeah, no. So Frank, I think, is actually his name.
Oh, okay. Well, everything I said they didn't have a name, but that's okay.
They never say his name in the movie.
Gotcha.
They never referred to it.
And I also saw that the Wonder Years was inspired.
I did read that.
By this show. The nostalgia of growing up and everything, that's what turned into
with the narrator over
the Wonder Years. With the narrator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's great. What did we say before the show? We like the narration, but if we could have, I'd like to retape this with a James Earl Jones. Arnold
Schwarzenegger,
Al Pacino, somebody good, just do a rereading. Maybe we can get Jack in after all and see how that turns out.
We're back to Jack.
I'd like to see a one scene take of how Jack's interpretation. You know, he's talking to the director. So what am I supposed to be thinking here? You're supposed to eat mush and read the paper. this isn't.
How the hell did you know it was Victor?
Everybody knows that.
Oh, that's funny. So, all right. Well, you got any other fun facts or anything else you want to share about the movie before we jump into our categories?
Don't think so. I think anything else I got is part of category stuff.
Yeah. I saw that the Lifebuoy soap was made of wax.
Yeah.
So he wasn't putting real soap in his mouth.
They probably learned from the tobacco.
Yeah.
They were like, man, we probably shouldn't.
When I read that.
Yeah, they're giving him tobacco, but not soap.
When I read that, I'm like, where are we drawing our lines here? It's like, here, you can chew this. You can drop F-bombs. Don't really, you can't have real soap. That's not going to work for you too much. So.
Oh, I read that Miss Shields in real life was pregnant. And so they.
Miss Shields being the.
The teacher.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so they had to, they couldn't have a pregnant, unmarried woman portrayed the screen. So they
too risque for the full scene.
So they padded her other places to make her just look stout.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
So there you go.
A good stout third woman grade
teacher.
Just like Iphigenia Doubtfire.
Just like Doubtfire. Also could play for the 49ers.
Right. She was a fullback.
Imagine the two fullbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Iphigenia and what's her name? Shields.
Miss Shields.
Miss Shields.
Look out.
Yeah. No.
They would
Esther Jane. Esther Jane was the snitch.
Oh, nice.
Esther.
You're very upset about Esther Jane.
Yeah, she's a rat, man. Ratted.
I don't she think ratted she's out ratting. Ralph. I think
she's helping out a fellow classmate.
Flick out because he's going to freeze to death.
All Miss Shields had to do. Well, I blame Miss Shields.
Okay.
Do you not keep track of your kids?
Were there no recess
monitors? She asked where he was.
I know, but she has asked the class. Did anybody see Flick?
Rob.
I
mean, were there no recess monitors? Paraprofessionals? Not back then. In the 40s? No, kids just went outside.
They did.
And then she leaves her class.
Billy Madison, this is my special time. You go outside.
When she leaves her class to go, you know, so whatever.
She's trying to help you and teachers leaving class. You're just not a fan.
No.
That's that administration part of you.
We're not allowed to do that.
That is a lawsuit ready to
what
happen.
Are they going
to
do? They were just sitting at their desks. I think they, they're not going anywhere.
They could 40s. Find things.
Yeah. All right. One other thing I did see. Long before we're going to the categories.
Mm-hmm.
On Ralphie's theme.
Oh,
he actually misspells Christmas. It's in the first sentence.
Yeah, his writing is not good.
It's in the title.
He put Christmas, right?
No, no title. R, just Kissmas.
Kissmas, yeah. That's what it was.
His C-plus was earned.
C-minus, wasn't it?
C-minus. C-plus.
No, C-plus.
Okay. C-plus.
But, yes, C-plus was earned, but she didn't even highlight that or circle it or anything?
Yeah, no. There was no corrective marks at all.
She put C-plus, she'll shoot your eye out. She took time to do that, but the easy one where Christmas is misspelled, the word of the theme, And she didn't circle it.
It might have been one of the last ones she was going through, because I was actually correcting papers the other day and it was writing. And by the end, you get a little tired of circling everything.
I got you. It's like, oh, come on. If you can even, yeah, the C plus. She probably got to that line and she just went, done. Yep,
I'm done. What you get.
And this thing that tells time.
That's right. He doesn't know what a sundial.
That is correct. But. All right. Well, I think we've, deciphered, chopped up some of the information for that movie. So we're going to head to the good part. The good part is, of course, our categories, Rob.
Hey, here come our categories, our recall movie categories.
And in case you're wondering, folks, we got an actual Christmas elf to record that.
That's right.
That beautiful, what is that, sonnet? Is that what we want to call it?
We'll go
for
some
sort of thing. Anyway, so Kip was able to find a Christmas elf on the dark web. And so,
good job, Kip.
He serves some kind of purpose. So, all right. Well, our favorite part of this is our categories. So we're going to jump right in to the first category, which is probably an impossible mission. And that is, of course, favorite quote. And Kurt, we'll start with you.
All righty. So I've got quite a few of them here.
Of course.
And since they're all great, I'm just going to go with a shorter one. So I'm going to go with Ralphie as an adult, the narrator. Goes, my father worked in profanity the way the other artists might work in oils or clay. It was his true medium, a master. And that was right after Mom asked him where he might have heard the F word.
You know how I can tell that it's the holiday season and you're a giving person? You went with a short quote, knowing that Rob is going to come to the table, and you gave him more time. I appreciate that.
Well, it seems like I might have taken one of his. I had a longer one, but I'll see if it comes up before I bring it.
All right, Rob, hit us with your favorite quote.
No, I thought it was, but it's also about Dad's profanity.
Oh, nice.
He said, in the heat of battle, my father wove a tapestry of obscenity that, as far as we know, is still hanging in the space over Lake Michigan.
Love that.
Also adult Ralphie. Yep. So, yep. Reminds me of my dad a little bit.
That's good.
My dad could throw around the language.
Yeah. Yeah. So
my dad was a colorful man with the words. Yeah.
Yeah. At home, he didn't use it, but I remember one time working with my dad in the summer, and that was the first time I was like, this is how dad talks.
You know, when I saw your dad profanity, his dad would come home from work, get out of the truck, and him and I'd be playing basketball, and he would be like, let me take you on, Rob. And they'd play one-on-one. Some profanity's flying that day.
Was that when Rob finally could beat him?
Oh, Rob would beat him all the time, and he would get very frustrated.
My dad's a lefty.
Yeah.
And he had this.
Nothing wrong with lefties.
And he had this weird hook shot.
He had this left-handed hook that. It went in, and it was so frustrating.
It shouldn't.
And he just went to it every time. You couldn't defend it.
But Rob would, like, if he elbowed into him or anything when he was going to the hoop, Well, mine is really silly. You both went, pretty good. Mm-hmm. The dad's got a lot of good ones, so it's solid. I went with Randy just because it makes me laugh every time. I've got meatloaf, smeatloaf, double beatloaf. I hate meatloaf.
Yes.
I love that. I just love, and then he's digging into it at the same time, but not eating it. So, I don't know. I feel like that's what a little brother would do. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd just swirl around his potatoes and not want to eat the food. So, my favorite quote, there's lots of quotes. Yeah. I mean, you can go with the eyes out. You can go with, the free gile. Mm-hmm. You know, another underrated one is, because now as a dad, I can appreciate when they're opening presents and all the kids are excited and all this, and he opens this one present, he goes, a can of Simonize. He tries to sound excited and he's not excited at all.
I didn't get a tie this year.
Yeah. Well, and the bowling ball.
Yeah, the bowling ball.
He totally plays it off.
What could this be?
He goes, oh, it's a blue ball. Oh, it's a bowling ball.
Well, you like it? Oh, yes, very much.
Very much.
Well, I like her.
And then he sits back down on the couch and he's rubbing his head because he's like, what the hell?
He just wants to go back to sleep, so.
I like, what was the one I just said?
I like I had the whole Santa Claus scene, basically. Yeah.
So.
That Santa Claus just terrified me. I got to be honest with you guys. As a kid, I was never excited to go to the mall and sit on Santa's lap. My parents would want me to do it. We go to Clackamas Town Center or something. Mm-hmm. And say, I'm just like, even when I was smaller, I know that's not the dude, right? Mm-hmm. And why am I sitting on a weird dude's lap and I'm standing in line and I don't know. They're all freaky. The Easter Bunny was bad too. Mm-hmm. I don't know who came up with that plan. Like, why is it even a good plan? Hey, let's take our kid to the mall, put him on a random dude's lap. Mm-hmm. And there's no training for this job. Like, I think you just, Bad Santa's you got proven a suit? To us.
All right, you're high.
Yeah, Bad Santa proved to us that any schmo can become the Santa. So I was not a fan of the Santa lap. You ever watch or go online and look at some old Santa photos from 70s and 80s? The kids are crying like mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10. Kids look terrified. So sit on my lap and be quiet. Yeah, not a fan of the mall Santas. I had the Aunt Clara has for years labored under the delusion that I was not only perpetually 4 years old, but also a girl.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty good
one. I still don't understand why Randy doesn't get anything from Aunt Clara.
Yeah.
He's the younger one.
Yeah.
Do you think Aunt Clara only pays attention to the older?
She just thinks she picked it up when Ralphie was four and she never heard the news that Randy was born.
It's possible. I had a relative that you would think she thought I was the only child and that my sister didn't actually exist. Yeah. Like, it was interesting.
My dad tells stories that he had a grandma? Anyway, that would send his sister stuff, you know, dolls, and it was really good stuff, and not send. Yeah. Or if he did get anything, it was really lame, you know. I liked when they were in the class.
All right, this is your last one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm getting cut off.
You're getting cut off. That.
I got one
Kip's back in the booth giving us the cut signal.
He's doing one of these. Because we could quote the whole movie till the cows come home. I'll give you one more.
In the classroom.
Make it good.
Where she's she's trying to convince the kids to fess up about what happened to Flick.
Yeah.
And they say adults love to say things like that, because she said something to the effect of, if you tell the truth, it's going to be better than if you lie. And adults love to say things like that, but kids knew better. We knew darn well it was always better not to get caught.
That is 100% a kid. That's where that movie resonates so well, is that is a kid quote right there.
Right.
I like how on that one, he never did anything. Ralphie never did anything. He stood there when they were doing the daring back and forth.
That's what I mean.
But he never did anything. I don't know why he's blaming himself. That's why
Ralphie is a person of questionable character. Because he's in it, but he's never quite involved.
Well, like
he does a good job of staying. He keeps his hands clean.
Kurt, I will also give you one other quote.
Oh, wow.
Before we get out of our quote category.
That's right. So we've got Ralphie as an adult narrating. He goes, "Over the years, I got to be quite the connoisseur of soap. My personal preference was for Lux, but I found Palmolive had a nice pecan after dinner flavor, heady, but with just a touch of mellow smoothness."
Heady Ross.
Lifebuoy, on the other hand, yuck.
Lifebuoy is not getting it done. Did you ever get the soap?
Of course.
Really? Soap in the mouth? Did you?
I never. My sister did.
Really?
My sister got
you're such a good boy.
I just didn't get caught.
There you go. As you've been around me and my own children, we're a bit foul mouthed people.
That's true.
So it's not a new thing.
My sister actually got liquid soap.
Oh, that's weird.
My dad just pulled her up to the sink and
just dumped it
in her mouth.
Wow, gross. What is going on over there?
That's bad.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, category two. Or is it okay to move on, Rob?
Yes.
You sure?
Can go.
What else you got?
He'll come in.
I got a whole page of them.
So you basically have the script.
Oh, yes.
That son of a bitch will freeze up in the middle of the summer on the equator.
We can't read the whole script.
All right, here we go.
All right. Well, category two, we'll start with you, Rob, since you felt so slighted in category one.
And we'll see where this goes.
Favorite main character. I think I already know your answer.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
I'm going to go with old man.
Of course.
Parker.
Because you think that's you.
That's I also had the old man.
Yeah, I just, I think his lines are really good, and I think he plays the part really well. And
I love the facial expressions and the subtle shake of the head.
Yeah, because you can tell he's a middle-aged, in real life he was older, but, you know, they're trying to portray this middle-aged guy, and he's not... I don't know that he's enjoying life. You know, he's got this naggy wife and
she's not very naggy.
Well, in his mind, I think he thinks she's a dingbat.
Okay.
And he's super smart. And his kids are, you know, just, his little eye rolls and his, you know, what the hell? What is going on here? Mm-hmm. But he ad-libbed most of his rants.
Yes.
And I tried to get what he actually said. I don't know if you tried that. I
went online. It was too much on the closed caption. Too I didn't much. Want to type that all in.
So I Googled it and I was trying. But I think at some point he says
machine.
Platypus snot, wart Monday noodle, dag nabbit
blab,
smelly rot ruster or smelly mop buster. We're not sure. Bladder puss or platypus snot grafter. Ooh. We're not sure. And then Grop Dumb Frattenhaus Nickel Pfeiffer.
Nice.
Wow.
We're not sure.
Watch your mouth.
Yeah, yeah, you kiss your mother with that mouth.
I don't kiss my mom at all.
That's right.
I love you, Mom. But so I just think he's such a good character.
I put that he fixes things himself. The furnace, kind of. The fuses, changes his own tires.
Not good at these things.
Well, I didn't say he was good. He just tries.
Yeah.
I'm not good at any of these things, but I do them at home.
One of my wife and I's favorite scenes is when he goes to plug it in and it pops and he just,
well, there's just one too many. Well,
there's just one too many. We still say it in this house if we have an outlet that's too, there's just one too many. But that was, and that was realistic because in those times, they didn't have a lot of outlets in houses.
One outlet so, that whole
because yeah. they didn't like have one... things that needed it, and so.
Well, for me, I would say as a kid, you'd say Ralphie because you're like,
I don't think.
Well, as a kid, when I'm nine, I think I want to get the red rifle. I want to do it. So maybe Ralphie, but as an adult, I'm gonna go the other way from you two, and I'm gonna say the mom. Is actually my favorite character because she's keeping the whole family together.
She's
making all the food. She's not a dingbat. She doesn't really nag him. Yeah. She saves Ralph from, I'm guessing, a spanking at some point. And although I have questions about that, why would the dad be mad Ralph defended himself? If Ralph picked the fight, I guess you'd be mad. But if I heard that the bully attacked him and he fought back and won, I kind of high-five that a little bit. I mean, good for you standing up for yourself.
I think if they would have let that play out, maybe different. I think dad probably would have The one time I remember I got in a fight, I got in the truck, front seat of the truck, sister sitting in the middle. My sister immediately goes, Robbie got in a fight.
Of course.
I'm like, oh. And I kind of flinched. I waited for my dad to do the backhand across the bench seat. And he goes, were you defending yourself? I said, yeah. And he goes, all right.
I feel like
that was the end of that conversation. Yeah, I was like,
but that's what I mean. What? I feel like that era that his dad is in that would have been encouraged.
You said, did you whoop his ass?
Protect yourself.
Yeah, right? I think he would have. So,
anyway, but she, you know, she's helped. She's no food happens without her.
Yeah.
You know, she makes sure that the house doesn't look stupid with the lamp in the window.
Yeah.
She's keeping it all together.
That's a good call.
She humors the dad a few times so he feels like he's in charge of the house.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is he's not, you know.
Well, and I think the scene where she intervenes in the fight with Farkas is a really heartwarming scene. And
it is.
I just really like it. I think she does a really nice job. And
you going to be all right?
Yeah, I'm going to be okay.
Do you want to take a minute?
No, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm going to be all right.
We can do one of those do-do-do-do songs so you can recoup. Let's recuperate here. Let's take a break, folks. Anyway. All right. Well, that takes us to category 3. I'll go first this time. You went. Now my turn.
Ooh.
I know you all get angry when I go first because you feel like I'm hogging the spotlight. But
you use up all the glue on purpose.
Not my favorite scene, but all right. That's good. So category 3, favorite scene. I'm going to say, again, as a kid, I liked the department store scene just because I thought that the slide looked like fun.
Mm-hmm.
You're landing in the cotton balls. Looks like a whole thing. Santa's terrifying. Don't like that. But the slide looked pretty awesome. As an adult, I liked the end of the movie. Sitting quietly in front of the window. They're drinking wine in front of the tree. The kids are in bed because I know what that's like
so
now.
So thoughtful of you today.
Holidays are over. You relax. Kids are sleeping.
Rob's going to show us his notes.
It's kind of the mom and the dad's moment to kind of have a time together. You know, you have all these scenes, but as an adult, I'll say that's probably the best scene is just kind of that you take a deep breath and go, we made it through the holidays. Like, the kids are happy. Everything works.
So I was not prepared for that.
I'm usually silly, and I'm usually funny with these things, but I'll take a serious turn.
Wow.
And I'll say...
What does this pod come to?
I know, you know. It's crazy. There. Yeah, it's your last time. I quit. So, my responsibility as the voice of this podcast...
There it is.
...is to make sure that it's not all fun and games. So I'm going to go with something serious... And I'm going to say, as an adult, I like the scene where they're looking out the window at the end of the movie.
Rob's flabbergasted.
So, Kurt, let's let him pause here because he's
if
awestruck.
I would have done that.
So, you're up, Kurt. No, it's Kurt's turn.
You would have razzed my ass about...
And Kurt, you're up.
He likes your ass.
I do like razzing.
I am speechless.
Speechless as he talks.
I'm sure he'll have plenty to say.
He out-robbed Rob.
All right.
Just wait. Yeah. I have something for you later.
Oh, crap.
All right, Kurt.
That's my goal in life is to out-rob.
Give us your favorite scene or event.
Mine was not heartfelt.
Oh, nice.
Mine was not thoughtful.
Good.
Mine was the arrival of the lamp.
Perfect.
Okay.
Just because I
can't fault that.
I love how Dad was overcome with art.
Yes.
Randy standing there just shit all over his face.
Oh, love it.
From eating like the piggies.
I love big eating.
I love big eating.
I love big eating. I eat like good. A pig for dinner.
It's good. Let's see here. I'm still trying to figure out why he just jumps in the box when he has no idea what's in there. He could have broken anything.
Well, because he thought they were going to send the whole bowling alley.
He thought he was
getting
a bowl.
Well, no, not the bowling alley. Just trying to play that up.
In a box. I didn't mean the whole bowling alley.
There was a continuity error on that. They bring in the box. It's got a rope around it.
Yeah.
Change the camera. Gotcha. It's gone. Okay.
Do you think, from a reality standpoint, now he's going to revel in his victory, but there's a little part in the back of his head that says, this sucks. Like, this gift isn't
I wanted good. A bowling alley. I got a damn yeah, I got leg a lamp leg with lamp. Fishnet stockings.
Now, I'm going to pretend it's a real thing because I don't want to give it away to the wife. Yeah. But there's a small part in the back here. If that was me, I'd have been like, really?
See, I disagree.
Like 100 things I could
use. I think he was a bit of a shyster, and I think he liked just the idea, like his little puzzles.
Winning anything?
He liked winning things.
All right.
And I've had relatives like that are always putting in for prizes when the Pepsi points were, they were always doing the Pepsi points. And they were like, I got this coat from Pepsi. Yeah. And
do you know how I know he's upset about my scene I chose? He's over there with his arms crossed all, you know, confrontational.
He was showing me papers. He had the same one.
I don't even know what to say about that.
You're going to have to
figure
anything,
out something.
You have anything else you want to add to that, Kurt?
One of the other parts I was, mom just gets squished up against the wall.
Watch out for the lady.
Watch out for the lady. I was like, why did you go back there? Woman, you knew they were bringing this stuff inside.
She hated it so much.
She got over it. She figured it out a way around it. So.
All right, well, good scene. The lamp scene, can't fault that. That's a great
scene. It's the classic because everyone knows the lamp.
They do. Yeah,
they do. They
ooh,
do.
Pee again.
No, that was me.
Careful with the pees. Oh, okay. All right, Rob.
Everyone here has got a hard pee.
So, category 3, that seemed like the fudge time, but we missed it again, as usual.
Oh, hard pee.
That's how we indicate inappropriate language. Anyway, Rob, that goes to you. Favorite scene or event? Keeps cutting me off here with his buttons today.
Yeah.
So.
No, I am shocked.
Shocked.
I picked the exact same scene.
Of course you did. You're a copycat. That's
Christmas
what I like
night
to call
scene.
You.
Following Christmas dinner, lights are off. Mm-hmm. Christmas trees going. Music playing. Snowing outside. Kids are in bed. All is right with the world.
Not very original today, Rob. There's thousands of scenes. You just had to do copy.
But if I would have picked that one first, you would have given me shit about.
Why? I just gave the same one. Why would I have given you? What are you talking about?
Stop pushing the buttons. Damn, Jack.
All right. So that's two votes for the
heartfelt
scene at the end. Heartfelt. And the leg lamp gets a vote in there, too. So, okay. So we'll say as a consensus, the best scene is the end of the movie.
If you say so.
There you go.
So, not a finger!
He loves that. All right. Well, category 4, best Christmas gift. I'm going to let you go first, Rob, so I don't steal it from you this time, although you're not going to have my answer. But go ahead. Hit it.
You let me go first now, and I got the dumb answer.
Well, that's not my problem. No answer should be a dumb answer.
I went the BB gun.
Of course you did. Let's be as obvious as we can be.
I
went with the BB gun.
Let's really work hard on this. Let's think about it.
I tried to think of other gifts. They didn't get a whole lot. I mean,
I robbed this category, so I'm going to explain to you mine. I love it.
Here we go. Crap.
What do you got?
I had a couple to choose from, but I went with the Zeppelin just because I love the Randy's line. Whoopee, a Zeppelin, and then he's sleeping with it. And
I am so that's crazy. I have the Zeppelin for Randy. So I
took it, and he said I wouldn't take it.
I said right here. I said. No one in the house is more excited about a present than Randy for that Zeppelin. Not even, I even put, Ralphie is not even that surprised about the BB gun. Like, I think he kind of expected it.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gives it to him, he says, all right. But the sheer joy on a person's face, no one was happier about anything than that Zeppelin. And he's sleeping with it at the end. He's sleeping with it under the tree. Like, it doesn't look like that fun of a toy. It seems like a one-trick pony. But Randy's pumped.
Randy made out good because those trucks were for him.
Both trucks.
And
mom made out good too. She got a fly swatter.
Yeah.
I saw that.
The gold fly swatter.
I'm sure the BB gun in 1940 was not cheap. So you had to give Ralphie a few less gifts. And little kids, you load them up. They can be $2 gifts, $5 gifts. They're just happy to open things. So he had a Frankenstein mask, it looked like, in there.
Yeah, it was.
You know,
and I read somewhere that said that
tabletop pinball machine they had.
Yeah, the Frankenstein mask that they used in the movie was like a 70s version of Frankenstein or something like that. So
yeah, so yeah, I went with
I feel bad for the mom. She got the fly swatter. I mean, that is that the dad got her. Well, I'm assuming that's from dad. It could have been from one of the kids.
Maybe, I was going to say the kids might have got it.
You know,
all right, Rob. Well, category five, we're going to your favorite thing, food.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to start with Curdo on this one.
Ooh.
And we're going to ask him.
Just call me Curdo.
Curdo.
Okay, I'll go with it.
That's cool. It's your holiday name.
Okay.
It's
kind of like a superhero. He flies in, he decorates, he leaves.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's great. You put lights up on the house. ladies and gentlemen, welcome Curdo. Yes.
I triple dog dare you.
To call me Curdo. All right.
No.
So, all right. You are just pointing out that the voice messed up.
That's right.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
But I'm going to call you Curdo for the rest now just because you've made it a silly thing.
I like it.
So best meal, Kurt.
I went with the Chinese food dinner.
Oh, okay. Nice.
With the Peking duck or the Chinese turkey, as they call it.
Or Peking duck. Which way are you saying Peking?
I'm saying Peking.
I think it's Peking.
Is it Peking?
What do you think, Rob?
I always thought it was Peking.
Okay.
But is it pecan or pecan? Pecan? Pecan?
I think that's your apples to apples or whatever.
Acorn or acorn?
Potatoes, potatoes.
Oh, but no, it's potatoes, tomatoes.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're so smart.
Yeah.
Very profound.
Yeah.
Where is this going?
So, I
went with the Chinese dinner.
All right.
If you ever come in here and ask that again, where is this going? I'm going to kick you off.
All right.
Because like at some point, like you honestly think that there's, hey, there's like,
where's this going?
There's a subtle outline of where we're supposed to go.
Subtle
is schedule to stick to.
Subtle
here.
Is an understatement. We walk in here and we push record and we go, let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. Yeah. All right. Well, I went with the meat.
We did a 30-minute riff on Jack Nicholson being a little bit Mr. Old Man Parker.
So well, he was supposed to be.
But just people listening going, yeah, anything could happen.
Yeah. I went with the meatloaf scene. I like meatloaf.
Double beet loaf.
And two, any meal that can turn a kid into a pig while he's eating, I'm signed up for that. Let's do that, right? I just want to watch him snort. Although I feel like we got to be ready to administer some CPR or something because those potatoes go up that nose. He's not going to be breathing too good.
Well, they're mashed potatoes. They're soft.
Still, it'll clog.
They'll be fine. My daughter used to do that
and
all the time.
The gravy because gets in there, it'll coagulate, and then he's just all crammed up.
My daughter loved this movie when we were little, so it was a thing at Christmas time with the mashed potatoes.
You're like a pig?
She would do that.
Nice.
Until she was like seven or eight.
I like it.
And she did.
Hey, and now I
she
do.
Turned on all right.
To be
and
fair. Now you to be fair, you and I go to lunch with Rob all the time. He still eats like that.
Well
I didn't know there was another way.
I like when he puts hands behind his back and just goes into it.
That's
right?
Scary. We had the same thought right there.
All right, Rob.
Well, you were the one that won the ice cream eating contest when you were little.
I did. That's not easy to do.
You look like a deranged Easter
bunny. I beat a couple of adults for that. So, all right, Rob, best meal.
I went with the meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
God, you're just a copycat today, man.
Yeah, the family minus the red cabbage. I don't know if I could do red cabbage. My mom, but this reminded me of a meal that we had a lot: meatloaf, mashed potatoes. That was.
Notice coincidentally today, every time he goes after me, he has the same answer. I do.
It's weird.
Odd, I think.
Nobody's choosing. And then every time you go after me, you choose the same.
That
thing.
Happened it's once.
Weird.
So just stop. It happened one time.
One time. So,
all right, that takes us to category six. I know it's going to be your favorite category. Rob, I'll let you lead off.
But if you do come back, you'll be pushing up daisies.
You're a little erratic with the buttons today.
Hey, that was a dream sequence.
Yeah,
that's
we'll let
the
you
next
go
category.
First. And this category is best Ralphie's, your favorite Ralphie dream sequence, Rob.
I'm going to go with the soap poisoning.
Oh, nice. Damn you.
Yeah,
that was mine.
It was also mine.
Ooh, we got a triple play soap poisoning.
We have a threesome of soap poisoning.
Was
soap poisoning.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's good. I think it's good because as I always like to say, a little saying I have, if you're going to have a threesome, everyone should be clean.
That's right.
So let's go with the soap poisoning and go from there. No one's got
oh,
like
he
that.
Made something clean so dirty. Wow.
You can put the soap in your mouth. You can never mind.
Time.
Right. Wow. No.
Time no. stamp.
Time out.
Time that one.
Oh.
Oh.
Look, I just think it's good hygiene practice. If we're, right. It's just to be clean.
Okay.
So. All right. Back to the scene. I love the part where he's got the mug. Oh, yeah. And he's asking for donations from his parents.
Well, I just like when he walks in and he's tapping around the door. Hey, good to see you, Ralph.
Yeah.
How you been?
Dad goes, I told you not to use the Lifebuoy soap. Yeah,
the soap poisoning. So, wow. A menage a trois soap. I like it. What do you think, Rob?
Phrases you never thought you would use. Menage a trois soap.
When talking about A Christmas Story, right? You didn't think that would happen, did you?
I stopped expecting things a long time ago.
Well, do you have anything else on the soap?
On the soap?
Well, that was your favorite.
Cleanse us with it, please. Yeah. With your wisdom.
I liked his line. He said, I'll manage to get along.
You know, I'm a little disappointed. You know? I was expecting Rob to come in and
lowly state.
Some back research on the soap to be like, you know, it could cause some sort of, I looked it up and they had lead in it and blah, blah, blah. No, but he didn't let me down. So. All right. Well, that'll take us to category 7 before he starts turning those 37 pages.
No, of his, I've got something.
Of his manuscript over there. Jiminy Christmas. Yeah. You know, Kurt and I each
everyone's
have a page
just listening
notes.
To pages flip right now, Rob.
You know, you and I each have a page of notes. He comes in with a manuscript and wonders why we wander off for 2 hours talking about things. So, all right. Category 7, worst character. This is a tough one, so I'm going to start with Kurt. Let's go.
Ooh, this is where I might have robbed it.
Oh beautiful. Crap. I like
I
it.
I went with Mr. Bumpus.
Ah, yeah.
Because he never controls his damn dogs.
He doesn't. But we've never seen him.
That's really good.
That's never. We never saw Barb Hummel either.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't think about the Bumpus family.
That's right.
How did you miss that?
That's God, really good. I would
sons of bitches Bumpuses.
Sons of bitches Bumpuses.
All right, Rob.
I mean, if Dad doesn't like him, neither do I.
Okay, Rob, what is your worst character?
I went with the Mall Santa.
Yeah, he's rough.
I didn't like him.
Yeah, he's not very good. He's a jerk. I don't like his elves either.
No. Yeah, I even put that.
Come on, kid.
We won't even mention the elves. Yeah.
He shakes his head.
Yeah.
I found this quote. It says, he's underpaid and jaded and tired of having his thighs crushed by a perpetual onslaught of rugrats in all sizes and stages of wetness.
Since you've brought up thighs and wetness, do you think when he gets home at night, they're kind of blistered chafed. Red and chafed?
Oh, gross.
And damp?
Gross.
Moist, yep. Even? Do you gross. Think there's some moist?
They're definitely wet.
Super.
Super wet.
To be fair, you brought up the wet and the thighs. So that's right. Walked yourself into
that. All he
that
can
one.
Think about is wet thighs.
I know. On Santa Claus.
I can't that's right. The rest of this quote.
Yeah. All right. Well, my worst character.
Kiss my foot.
When I was a kid, I think I hated Randy because I had a sibling, a younger sibling, and kind of whiny.
Daddy's going to kill Ralph.
I'm
going
to say. I can't put my arms down. Yeah. I could be, if I was Ralph, I'd be over that real quick. But as an adult and a parent, I don't like Scott Farkas. All right.
Oh, yeah.
That's an easy answer, but he's legitimately beating kids up and no one is stopping this situation.
He gets his shit kicked on him later, though.
Yeah, that black eye, the teacher's not doing anything about it. Everyone in the neighborhood knows he's terrorizing the children and the parents are like, that's just Scott Farkas. No, that's not a good answer. Let's intervene here.
Little Leon Redbone over there. Little. It's just Scott Farkas.
Scott Farkas. Who cares? Got yellow eyes. No one cares. Okay. So, all right. Well,
I actually had a backup worst character. Ooh, this is Mrs. Schwartz.
Yeah.
Beat the hell out of that kid.
I think he did. Blacks out.
Yeah. It's tough.
He like trails off. I think she beat him into blacking out.
First of all, is this the old days where if another parent tells you what happened, that's just the end of the story?
Yeah.
You didn't even ask a question.
No.
Like,
what'd I do, Mom? Yeah,
I would have asked, the first question I would have asked Ralphie's mom is, well, when did he hear him say it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to put Ralphie on that spot. Well, when did he say it? Oh, the playground. Oh, something. Yeah. Let's establish this situation.
I did like Mrs. Schwartz go, do you know where he heard it from? Yeah. Well, probably from his father.
No.
I just love she goes, no, not that.
Not that.
That's interesting.
You can hear it going down the hallway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's rough. Poor kid. And he got, took a whooping for no reason.
Yeah. He got blistered.
Again, and next time I see Ralphie needs to run.
Yeah.
All right? I don't care if you got a BB gun at all, clown. What you did to me for my mom, that's it.
Well, that's what I mean. Ralphie got away with a lot, and he put people out.
He put them in danger.
You know, he walked away from Flick. He threw Schwartz under the bus. He's
making Santa's thighs all wet. I mean, there's just a lot of problems with Ralphie. Okay. All right. Well, category eight, I had Scott Farkas. You had.
No, not category.
Oh, no, that was category seven. I had Scott Farkas. You had.
I had Mr. Bumpus, or Mrs. Schwartz, either
one. And you had.
The Mall Santa.
The Mall Santa. Santa.
Wet.
Yeah, I think those are the.
Thighs.
Those are the. They're, bad characters.
Yeah.
Like, would the movie be different if you took the Mall Santa out of it? Probably not. It's just an extra scene, I think. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you had to. That was part of his quest. He had to go see those.
He had to get around Mom.
The connection.
Yeah.
Is what he referred to him as.
Thinking the Mall Santa would tell Mom what I want. And you don't get to see the creepy kid otherwise. The serial killer.
Yeah.
All right.
With the goggles.
And did you know that, you know, when they're in line there and he goes to get in line, the guy goes, the line starts back there. That's
the narrator.
That's the writer.
Yeah. He goes, this is the front of the line.
Yeah.
The line starts back there.
Yeah. Poor Ralphie.
Like you're,
by the way,
you're 1930s. The line starts back now.
Hey, kids, line's in the back. Yeah. See you later, sport.
Try Mrs. Havisham's freckle cream.
Starts in the back next to the unmentionables.
By the way, the 40s were a fun time where apparently you drop your kids off in a department store and just leave for an hour. Leave.
Yes.
And then come back and they're fine, just laying in a cotton pit.
Yeah.
I like how they came back like an hour and a half later when they thought they were getting in line, going up the stairs real quick.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. They're like, no, they'll be fine.
They just left them. They didn't stay with them. Other kids' parents were in line, but Ralphie's parents were like, later.
See ya. We got some last minute shopping to do.
Watch your brother.
Dad was like, I got to go buy a fly swatter.
That's right.
They got to get the alone time when they can.
The alone time.
Right. They don't.
Maybe who cares? All right. Well, category eight, worst scene. You can determine this however you want. Scene you didn't like, you think it was unneeded for the movie, just whatever you determined as worst scene. So I'll start this one off. This is tough because there weren't really a lot of bad scenes.
It was tough.
Oh, I put that. I personally don't think there's an unneeded scene.
Okay. Well,
I have a few.
I found one.
But I have a few.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with the drink your Ovaltine scene. That didn't really do a lot.
Crummy commercial.
It highlights the commercialism, probably stirred some good memories for older generations in the 80s that were listening to the radio or Little Orphan Annie.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it's kind of a throwaway scene. It doesn't progress the movie at all. Nothing about getting his rifle. That didn't help that at all. So really, it's just an extra thing that got tossed in. I don't know. Like, just, if they're trying to keep it at 90 minutes, you just probably didn't need the Little Orphan Annie decoder scene. It didn't do much. So it's not even that funny.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Except Ralphie or Randy yelling about, man, you got to use the one bathroom. So
I think there was probably a social commentary there about commercialism and him coming to the realization that.
Yeah.
Santa's a farce.
I don't need that in a Christmas movie.
No, he's not.
I don't need that in a Christmas movie. Sorry. Let's just have fun.
Kids.
I've already got wet Santa thighs. I don't need commercialism on top of it. All right. All right, Rob, go ahead.
Well, I don't know if it's an unneeded scene. I just don't understand it.
Oh, okay.
I got into the rabbit hole of the internet trying to figure out the meaning of it. Back to the Mall Santa.
Oh, nice.
And he gets the kid he gets the wet one, and then he passes him off, and he says,
"The wet Santa."
He says, "I hate the smell of tapioca."
Yeah.
What does that mean? I mean,
the kid either had it on him.
I don't know because I found
maybe
one quote
time of tapioca.
I don't know. I found one quote on a chat, and somebody said, "If you grew up in the 50s, you would understand that reference."
Okay.
But I looked for it, and I couldn't figure out what it meant. And so the only thing that I did find is people saying, well, it's all these kids eating candy, and they throw up, and so they smell like I don't know. But I just didn't understand the meaning of that.
What's your feeling on tapioca pudding?
I like it.
I do like it as well.
I do like it. I like
gross.
I'm not upset about it.
I like warm tapioca.
Yeah, warm tapioca is good.
Heat it up. It's right off the stove.
It feels a little snotty, but tastes good.
I love
That's
it.
That's disgusting.
I gotcha.
I love it.
All right.
I'm a texture guy. No, thank
you. I got you. Yeah, you are.
No warm snot for me.
No.
Nothing wrong with warm snot. Let's recap this show. Warm snot, wet Santa thighs. All right. Anyway.
And Jack Nicholson.
This has been fantastic. No one.
Award winning.
I can guarantee you. I will say right now on the record for everyone listening, many people on podcasts have covered A Christmas Story.
Not
like I guarantee you, snot, wet Santa thighs, and Jack Nicholson have not been the predominant forces of those shows. So. I guarantee no one has spent time on that. See, we find those extra parts of the movie that no one thinks about. So, all right. So that brings us to you, right?
All right. The one that I came up with, it was short. It had some funny moments, but when he's bringing the giant fruit basket.
Yeah.
Oh, to, yeah.
I mean.
100%.
They do the whole running away from Scut. Yep. We're at school. Here's a fruit basket.
Yeah.
I want to get a good grade. Run home.
Yeah. Again, he's trying to manipulate the system.
Manipulate. And I want to know, mom and dad did not pay for that giant fruit basket in the middle of winter. There is no way.
You would have had to ship that in from Florida.
Yeah.
And what would that have cost in 1940? Yeah. There were pineapples in it. That was like a thing then. Like, that's like getting a macadamia nut in 1940. That was like $50 for a pineapple.
Yeah.
Like, where's that coming from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like his parents were like running him down to the store to pick a gift out for Mrs. Shields. And have them go, oh, that seems appropriate.
Why do I got to get fruit for the damn teacher? I don't know. Why would
she
you
needed fruit because she was so sturdy?
Just
I don't
bring an apple. Yeah. She was sturdy. You're not getting sturdy by not eating an apple a day.
Take her damn apple.
Oh my God. That is it right there. So, all right. Well, that takes us to our category 9. Our last category, you're probably thinking us for getting to that. Least believable event or scene. Like,
please, for the love of God, make this the last category.
What is the least believable event and scene? Kurt, start us off. What do you got?
I went with not the fact that he's beating on Scut, but the amount of time where Randy goes home, turns around with Mob for her to shuffle on back, and then he's still wailing away without slowing down.
Here's my problem. I have the same scene, but I'm just looking at it differently. One, he's hitting him, but he's got those mittens on. He's not landing any actual punches here. And if you watch it, he's hitting him a lot in the shoulders and the chest. These are not hurting Scut a ton. I know he gets up with the bloody nose, but two, Scut's a big dude.
Mm-hmm.
You just flip Ralphie right the hell off
just
you,
roll.
And then Ralphie's going to take a whipping real quick. Like, it's just not believable that Scut just laid there. Even it's kind of the dazed and confused scene. Ralphie got that first punch in, and then Clint's like, no, I'm stronger than you. This is what's happening now. Scut would have figured that out. And where was the little rat dude that's supposed to be helping him out?
Yeah, the toady.
Hey, kid.
Toady.
Yeah.
Isn't he a tough
guy,
too?
Well, he ran away as soon as
I'm telling my dad.
Grover Gill? Or?
He said, I got to go tell my dad.
I also going back to Mom, who you said was so good with Ralphie at that moment.
Yeah.
She didn't give two shits about Scut, by the way. She picks him up, turns around, Scut's in the ground crying.
But I'm pretty sure Scut's got the reputation around town. I'm going to guess Scut's dad is not a great dude either. Because Scut's getting that from somewhere. So I'm guessing Mr. Farkas is not a pleasant individual.
Just found it funny that Mom just didn't even look at him. Just
no.
Walked away.
Who cares about Scut Farkas? I don't care about Scut Farkas.
Ooh. Yeah.
All right. So good scene. I think same thing. I just don't, those blows he's landing. I don't know how he bloodied his nose with his mittens on, but all right.
Yeah. Hit him once with a little buckle on the mitten.
Fists,
I don't know.
Fists of fury. He's got there. All right, what do you got?
Well, I relate to Ralphie. I don't know if I've told this story, but in middle school, I was in the gym, and they made us dress down and eat.
Yeah.
And so I'm seventh grade. We're changing, getting ready for class, and I'm hating life. And
yeah.
This kid named Joe Hall. Joe Hall, if you're listening, I doubt he is.
Oh, you but, last name
he's got
it.
A bone to pick with.
So I'm at my locker. I'm getting changed, and Joe Hall comes up and takes my head and another kid's head, and knocks our heads together.
WWE style.
Perfect.
Well, I'm in seventh grade. I got acne. I'm changing down. I'm half naked. Life is not good. He pissed me off. So I turned around and I just started throwing haymakers. Ralphie on him. Yeah.
Were you Winnie the Pooh in it? Just a shirt only?
So he
beating him up in just a t-shirt.
He falls over the bench.
Swinging.
He falls over the bench. They hold us all back, and then Mr. Grimes come out and yells at us. But the next day he came to school. He had a cast on his arm. He broke his wrist or something when he fell.
Rob.
And so everybody thought I did it. That I broke Joe Hall's. Yeah, I went home.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was afraid Joe Hall was going to beat the shit out of me, so I went home.
So
anyway, turns out he went home.
I know what Ralphie feels like in that moment. You know, that fuse popped.
Just rage.
I just started throwing haymakers. And
so when you thought snot, wet, Santa thighs, and Jack Nicholson were the end of this? No, we've got acne, half naked, beating a kid up in just a Winnie the Pooh t-shirt. All right.
In gym class.
Yeah. Great. Nothing says Christmas like Rob's stories over here. Right. That's awesome.
Sounds good times.
All right. Well, we've gone through all our categories.
No, my least believable event.
I thought that was...
Nope. Leg lamp being even put in the window.
I gotcha.
It ain't happening.
You know, the way
it doesn't even make it to the window.
You know, the way you led into, we assumed you were on the same page as we were.
He just wanted to tell the story.
I was like, yeah, okay.
We gave him an opening. He drove right through it.
Like, you're like, that was, you 100% alluded to that was your scene. But,
sorry, I think about you.
Apparently,
guys.
He just wanted our listeners to know about his acne aunt.
Well, I thought, I'm sorry.
Naked in the locker room pictures.
I forgot that there were rules.
There are rules.
In this show.
Rob, there are always rules.
Are there?
Tell us why would the lamp not be put in the window? Tell us why is the lamp
not in
the
window? Because it's not making it in the window.
No. I have driven down a street and seen people have that leg lamp in the window.
But it's funny now.
At that time, it's not happening, but it was the 40s. He made the rules, right, in the house. Took care of it, mind you, but also another story.
Do the neighbors really like it? Do the other neighbors be like,
no,
they were envious of his major award. Frank,
kind of looks stupid, bro. Like, what are you putting up there?
It's not
making
it.
Are we saying bro in the 40s?
My sister, when she was stationed in Germany, she sent home my dad this full-size replica of the Braveheart sword.
Oh, wow.
It's a real deal. We have it now. My son has it.
Wow.
And my dad was going to hang that above the mantle. No, that was it. No, my mom wasn't
having
it.
Quick conversation.
Went in a glass case in the
corner. No, it went around a corner. There was a wall. Yeah, and it's
the
same idea. It was
around the corner and stabbed themselves.
It wasn't going to make that lamp does not make it to the window.
I'll take your stance on that. Is that your last?
That's my last
unbelievable
one.
Scene. Okay. Yes. So, all right. Well, real quick then, after all of that, our categories, the information that we went over to include some of the things we talked about, where does Christmas Story rank in your Christmas movie viewing? Is this a must watch? I'll catch it on the 24-hour loop on TBS, or I don't have to watch it every year. When I catch it, I'm fine. You don't get to talk yet.
Apparently. He's got buttons to push.
My goodness.
I'm trying to answer a question, sir. You should take your own advice and not a finger touch the button.
How about you just cool your wet thighs over there and let the rest of us do our business? So,
like a snake bite.
Absolutely deplorable today. All right. What do you got?
Keep your hands away. I'm trying to speak.
I'm going to say
it's a must watch. Okay. I've seen it 3 times in the last week and a half. Nice. I'll probably see it at least 2 or 3 more times before New Year's.
Very good. So I'm a must watch also. Well, like I said, we watch it on Christmas almost every year. Yeah. Or every year.
Yeah.
We try every year. There's been actually a couple years where it's like it's towards the end of the day and we're tired and we're like,
We've been up since 2 a.m. putting these gifts out.
So. All right, Rob.
It's a must.
Must watch.
It just is. It just exists in the
just exists
when Christmas time rolls around.
Yeah. So, I think we've covered absolutely everything you could cover on Christmas Story. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else to add, gentlemen? Before we jump, anything of value to add before we jump to the end of this?
Way to preface. valuable? No.
Valuable? No.
You look like a deranged Easter bunny.
Well, if you enjoy this podcast, please take a second to give it 5 stars. Drop us a review. We love reading those. Helps the show out. Check out our website at totally80s90srecall.podbean.com, where you can find links to all of our social media sites, as well as subscribing to our Facebook group for weekly updates and future episode ideas. If you want to get in touch with us, email the show at 80s90srecall@gmail.com, which allows you to recommend future show ideas, comment on previous topics, and ask us questions like, why are you talking about Santa's wet thighs? Right? finally, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you'd like to see Rob and I while you're listening. We highly recommend that. We're lots of fun. Kurt will be there too on this one. So, and links to all of our social media, merchandise store, and email are included in the show notes, so be sure to check them out after this episode. Before we sign off, any other closing thoughts?
I don't think that would be wise.
Not appropriate. We'll stay out of that business then. Well, the kids have gone to bed, so that, of course, brings us to the end of this holiday episode. We hope we've decked your halls with our look back at the 40th year anniversary of A Christmas Story. You don't want to deck anyone's halls? All right. We'd like to thank all of our listeners, whether first timers or subscribers, for hanging out with Rob, Kurt, and I. Hopefully we gave you an hour or so of some laughs and entertainment. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
What are we doing next time?
We probably shouldn't do anything, but
we should probably take a break. Recollect. We should probably
reevaluate your podcast.
Call a meeting and reevaluate our life choices.
Yeah, Kip left half an hour ago, so he had enough of this.
Said they'll give anybody a podcast.
So we're going to be covering our favorite holiday songs. Ooh. And we're back to the collaboration mode. It went so well for our TV theme
it
show.
Did. It,
well,
that theme got the,
show songs.
Yeah.
That we're going to do it again.
That got good. We got some good response to that.
We did. So,
yeah, people liked it.
People liked it for the most part. Mm-hmm. We got a couple questions.
That's okay. That's all right.
You know, we understand the feeling on Family Ties. We apologize for not including Family Ties.
That was a nerve.
It was a tough.
That was a tough.
Yeah, that was a tough leave for us.
That touched a nerve. We did.
But Rob and I were not big Family Ties guys. I didn't spend a lot of time with that show, so maybe it just didn't have that nostalgia. But we understand. But we'll try to do better on the holiday songs. Yep. Maybe they'll actually like all 20 of them.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right.
No chance.
No chance.
Oh, no.
No.
No, I'm no, okay.
Yeah. All right.
Don't make promises you can't keep.
I'll mess it up.
Of course. Yeah. You got anything else?
I got nothing.
Fancy goodbye?
I got no fancy goodbyes.
Sure. You got wet Santa thighs.
He does.
Tapioca, Jack Nicholson.
Tapioca covered wet thighs.
I just got a great rhyme. Wet Santa thighs, no fancy goodbyes.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
But I like it.